Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're joined today by Mark Bohr. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you, Allison.
So, Mark, you've got a pretty impressive job at Intel. Why don't you tell us what you do?
Well, I'm an Intel Senior Fellow. I work in the Logic Technology Development Group located in Hillsboro, Oregon. That's the group that develops all of Intel's advanced logic technologies that are used to make microprocessors.
So you've been working on the 32-nanometer microprocessors right now.
Actually, the 32-nanometer process has completed the development phase. It's now entering volume manufacturing.
So can you walk us through the process by which your team would start looking at a new process technology all the way through implementation where products are being delivered to the marketplace?
Yes, actually, developing a new generation of process technology stretches out over years. It begins in the early research phase, primarily done by Intel's Components Research Group, where they explore a wide range of options, different materials, different process techniques to make the transistors and the interconnects. After exploring different options over a couple of years, they narrow it down to a fewer number of options that seem to hold promise. Then we transition into what we call the pathfinding phase. This is when engineers from both the research and the development group get together and they start to go through these options again. And by the time pathfinding is done, they have settled on what the main options are, what the main process flow will be for making transistors and the interconnects. Then we get into the full development phase, where a larger team of development engineers begins to put all the pieces together, make working test chips, give the electrical characteristics to the product designers so they know how to start designing the actual microprocessor chips. Once those chips are made, they're quickly debugged, and then we begin the volume manufacturing phase or the production phase.
And that cadence of what you just described over many years, we have to deliver that every 2 years based on the TikTok model.
Every 2 years, we have to develop a new generation of process technology along with the new products that go with it. At any one time, we have multiple generations in flight, some of them in the early research phase, some of them in the pathfinding phase, the next one in the development phase.
Did you ever think that we would get to the speed and cadence that we're on today?
Well, when I look at today's 32-nanometer technology and how small and how fast the transistors are, if somebody had gone back in time to 1978 and showed this to me and said, Mark, this is what you'll be doing 30 years from now, I would not have believed them. It is just completely unfathomable to me, at least back in 1978, that we would be where we are here today.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about that length of time and where we're at, where we might be going, and that's where I'm going with my question next. We recently showed the first 22-nanometer SRAM chip, and that was working. Did your team work on that?
That was a very exciting event. The very first 22-nanometer wafers with an SRAM test chip came out of line. Of course, we were all biting our nails the night before. You know, is it going to work? Did we mess up? Next day, as the testing was unraveling and being done, we recognized, hey, the bits are wiggling. It works.
What was the biggest innovation that your team has driven in terms of technology?
Well, every process generation has incremental changes, but the one generation where we made a huge change was the 45-nanometer generation when we implemented high-k metal gate transistors. That was the biggest change in transistor technology in more than 40 years. So it was a gutsy call, but it worked.
Now, a lot of people think that high-k sounds like some sort of vitamin that you take. What actually is high-K and what distinguishes it from what we've used before?
Okay, well, the answer is a bit technical. Transistors historically have three structures, a gate electrode made out of silicon, a gate oxide made out of silicon dioxide, and then the silicon substrate. So those were the three parts, all of them based on silicon. But at the 45-nanometer generation, we changed the top two. The gate electrode was changed from silicon to a special metal material. The gate oxide was changed from silicon dioxide to a dielectric based on the element hafnium. And the only thing that's still the same is the substrate is still silicon. So it's still mostly silicon, but the top two parts of the transistor structure were changed to hafnium-based oxides and a metal gate electrode.
Sounds like you're almost doing magic.
Sometimes it feels that way, yes.
Thank you very much for being on the program, and good luck with the next generation.
Well, thank you. This was fun.